Welcome to Podcasting Tips and Tricks with Lyndall Harris, a show sharing quick, actionable tips, tricks, and advice to help you on your podcasting journey. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Podcasting Tips and Tricks. I am your host, Lyndall Harris, and in today's episode, we are going to talk about the five-step podcast workflow. You might have heard of the five P's of podcasting. There are different iterations of it. There are six P's, three P's, but today we're going to talk about the five-step workflow that I use with my clients and that I talk to people about when they are setting up their shows to ensure that they have a successful launch and also continue to have a consistent and successful podcast. So the workflow as a podcaster can really be broken down into a number of steps. And then once you've broken down the steps, you'll probably find it easier to actually systemize the processes of, you know, identifying those tasks that you do over and over again and putting it into a system so that when you record, you don't have to think about it. You can literally just have your process set out and be working through each of these phases or steps in the workflow and knowing exactly what you need to do for each episode. So step number one is the pre-production stage. And when we talk about that pre-production stage, we're going right back to brainstorming, knowing what content you want to deliver to your audience, brainstorming the ideas. Now, you might book this in as a quarterly or a half-yearly meeting and just sit down and get really macro with what topics do you want to cover? Which guests would you like on the show? What events are coming up in your industry that your audience would like to hear about? And really nutting out what it is that you want to deliver to your audience. And then from that brainstorming, you can go into the next step of your episode planning, which tends to happen maybe monthly or every quarter. You can sit down with a spreadsheet or a project management software like Trello or Asana or something like that and work out which episodes you're going to put in which order. To you might like to do your episodes or your podcast per season. So do you want to have certain subjects? Do you want to make sure that the flow is right? Episode planning also can allow you to know what topics are coming up and what you can also reference back to. So that's really handy as well. In that episode planning stage, you can also start to outline or script the topics that you like to cover. Now, some podcasters like to script their shows because they're a little bit more confident and comfortable that way. Certainly, as people start out, they might script it more and then go back to outlines. Some people just do some bullet points that outline perhaps the topics they want to cover or the questions that they want to ask their guests. And other people are, you know, feel that they can not have to do that sort of prep and are quite happy to sort of come in and free flow the conversation. And so it's really about working out your style and working out how much planning you need to put into that. But also in this stage, we are looking at booking your guests as well. And booking your guests, you know, you really want to automate as much of this as you can. I think this is one element of your podcasting process that you can automate. So have an online booking system so that you're not going back and forward with guests trying to find a time that works for you. Use a program like Calendly or Schedule Once or Book Like a Boss and just get that online booking system working for you where you can put in a podcast recording meeting so that you know what it is. And then after you've done that, automate a follow-up sequence that requests any relevant information such as your headshots, the bios, the social links, if they've been on other podcasts before that you want to listen to before you book them in. Automating that email workflow just takes one of those steps off your plate as well. You don't want to chase people up and ask for headshots. And sometimes that's the stuff that you can forget. So put it in upfront. And then you can also send out reminders and have a guide of what to expect or what the guest can expect and how they can prepare. So you might be interviewing podcasters and they might not need you step-by-step how to prepare, but you might be interviewing people that have never been on a podcast before who don't own a microphone and they may not know how to prepare. So just give them a little bit of information so that they know what to expect. Step number two is production, and that's where we're talking about the actual recording. So When are you going to record? How are you going to record? Think about, you know, what room you're going to record in and how long is it going to take you to set everything up. Some people batch the recording on certain days of the week. Certainly if you have a complicated setup, then you might set it up so that you batch record one or two days a week and you're not having to set up and pack down every time you record. So not all podcasters like to batch record, but it is one way of streamlining this production phase. And whether or not you do batch record or not, you set up your online booking system to help you have a bit of control over when you're actually going to record. Think about how you're going to record. Think about the space that you're recording in. Is it an echoey room, or does the lawnmower man come at the time at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning? Or do you have a dog barking next door? Or are you expecting somebody to arrive at the front door and ring the doorbell? Just have those things in mind so that if that happens when you're recording, or you're not actually scheduling in every Tuesday to do your podcast recording when you know the lawnmower man or the garbage man comes by and is quite noisy in the background. And do you have a pre-recording checklist? Do you have a checklist that you run through every time you're about to record? Now, some podcasters don't have this. Some podcasters have just a really sort of high level one, and others have it where it's quite detailed because they want to make sure that everything is ready and prepared. So it might be things like switching off those noise-making appliances like fans or dishwashers, closing doors and windows, making sure the kids and the pets and the partners and everyone's not going to come in while you're actually recording. Having a glass of water there. Small tip here is don't put ice in that glass. Turn your phone off. Turn your notifications off. You know, close any unnecessary programs on your computers. Have your questions and notes ready. Plug in your headphones. And of course, the main one that you don't want to forget is press record. Step number three in the workflow is post-production. Now, this can be where a lot of our time is spent, depending on how you choose to edit your show. So in the post-production phase, we're really looking at the editing and the ID3 tagging. So as soon as you've recorded your episode, you will probably export it or save your audio somewhere in the cloud or in multiple places just to make sure that you've got that audio available, because you don't want to lose it, particularly if you've done an interview with somebody, because you don't want to have to go back and say, listen, didn't really work, or I lost the file or anything like that. So recording it and saving it and exporting it is really important. Some editing tools will allow you more customization of templates, so you can really set those up. But even in something as simple as Audacity, you can set up a template of sorts where you have your intro and your outro and your sound effects and all the other bits and pieces, so that when you've recorded, you simply need to import that into Audacity. Create a short template that outlines the tasks that you need to complete in the editing process. Again, sometimes it's just about having a checklist in each of these stages to help you not have to think and remember if you've actually undertaken all of the steps. And then use a program like Orphonic to finalize your editing, which will, you know, bring your audio to the correct bit rate. It'll bring it to the right level for podcasting, and it will level the guest and the host so that it's all on the same level. And it's a great tool that you can set up with presets, and you can just run it through there quite quickly, and you can also push it out to some of the directories depending on where you host. Now, in this post-production phase, we're also looking at your ID3 tagging, which is simply adding that metadata to your audio file. So you should be all adding ID3 tagging to your audio files. It is good for SEO, and there are so many programs that you can use. But if you do use a program like Orphonic where you're running and finalizing that audio quality, you can add your tags there. But there is ID3 editor and there's iTunes as well. But I would just say, just make sure that you are adding the tags to those audio files, because it is, as I say, it is a good thing for your podcast SEO. Step four in the process is publishing. So when you're talking about publishing, you want to make sure you've written your show notes and got them all ready to go, and you're uploading it to your host and you're putting it onto your website so that you can share it out with the world. So show notes is a really interesting conversation, I find, is different with lots of podcasters. So some people don't really do show notes. Others might write one paragraph of show notes, and others will do show notes that include intro paragraphs and a number of bullet points and what's included and links to the resources, as well as a full transcript of the show. So it's really about working out what works for your audience, what works for you, and getting that into a templated kind of, whether it's a Google Doc or a Word doc, or if you just build it out onto your website. But again, template that so that it's not something that you need to recreate every time. And I would suggest that you put the embedded audio player onto your website, as well as the subscribe buttons into those show notes, so that when you're promoting your episode, you are sharing the URL of your website and sending people back there. And then uploading your episode to your host obviously means too that your episode will be delivered to your subscribers. So that will drop into their podcatcher every time you release an episode. The other thing with uploading and publishing on the host is don't forget that you can actually schedule it, because you don't want to be sitting there having to be at your computer at the time. So get everything prepared and then schedule it. And of course, if we're talking about workflow and batching and streamlining, you can work well ahead in advance and really have quite a lot of episodes in there and scheduled out, ready to go. Now, there are so many podcast hosts. I usually recommend my clients to Wooshka, Omni Studio, or Libsyn, but there are plenty out there that are perfectly fine to use as well. But the trick here as well is to get it onto as many directories as you can. Don't just get it onto those sort of main Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify and Stitcher. Make sure you go for the iHeartRadio and all of the other directories that are available as well, because you may as well push it out to all of them. And last but not least, step five is promotion. It is so important that you promote your episodes. I see lots of podcasters who drop an episode, maybe do one Facebook post and one LinkedIn post, and then that's it. They move on to the next show the following week. You've spent all this time and invested all this time and money recording this content for your audience. You really need to have like a marketing blueprint for your show, if you like. So do you want to send every single episode every week to your audience via email, or would you rather send it to them once a month with all the episodes that you've covered in that month? Do you want to use a messenger bot to deliver it via another method? How many Facebook posts are you going to do? Are you going to do Instagram stories, Instagram posts, Twitter posts? Are you going to use LinkedIn? You know, really work out where your audience are going to see these and where they, I mean, obviously I would say if your audience is not on Instagram, then perhaps don't spend a lot of time doing Instagram posts. Spend more time where your audience are, and work out when is the best time to actually be posting on these platforms. And again, look at scheduling tools. So SocialBee, Meet Edgar, SocialQ, there's so many of them. And look at the scheduling tools so that you can recycle these posts as well, because that's, if it's evergreen content, don't just put it out when you put it out. Make sure you're putting it into a system that is bringing it out 3 months later, 6 months later, 12 months later. It's amazing if you go into your stats in your host to see that people are still listening to those evergreen episodes. And so why not push them in front of the audience again? Because you might have somebody who's just come on into your audience at episode 67 and hasn't gone back through your old ones. So they are the five steps in the podcast workflow. Just recapping them now is step one is the pre-production. Step two is the production. Step three, the post-production. Step four, the publishing. And step five is the promotion. If you would like to find out how we make the podcasting journey easier, head over to the website podcastva.com and check out our Done For You services, as well as our new training program, which teaches you all the steps to launching and maintaining your successful podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and speak to you next week.